is your first time here, welcome. If you were here just the first time this morning, I know there's a few grandkids that are here this morning. I'm glad to see y'all back. You're going to be sick of me. You had me in Sunday school, but it's good to have you back. So before we begin, if you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to John chapter 15. Put one finger right there in John chapter 15. Put the other finger in 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll be in those two parts of the scripture a little later on. But one of the questions I want to ask is, what is it that gives you the most peace? When is it that you're the most content? Now, I was thinking about this and praying about this, and when I have the most contentment, the most peace inside of me, and I was thinking about things in the past, and I came in here, I got here about 5 minutes after five or so, maybe 10 minutes after five, and Susan was up here playing. Now, I came down and I just sat and listened. There's a couple of things about that that brings me peace. You know, first of all, just walking in the sanctuary brings me peace. And I sat down on the pew there and I was listening to her play those old hymns. And that gives me peace. You know, it gives me peace because I remember when I was just a little boy, you know, and I'm coming and I hear that piano and I hear those very same songs. And it gives me peace because it's familiar. Because I know it. Because I know the things that God has spoken to me through it. But there's a lot of things in our life that is not familiar. You know, a lot of things that are new, a lot of things that are changing that we don't necessarily have much peace. You know, a lot of the other things that do bring us peace is when we know what the end is. You know, we know what's going to happen and we're sure, we're confident that things are not going to go wrong. You know, I'm thinking about some shows that I like to watch. You know, one of the shows I like to watch on Friday night is Blue Bloods. I don't know if y'all watch that show or not, but I really enjoy that show. Now, I'll sit there most of the time, probably 3 Fridays out of 4, because it's on Friday night, it starts at 10 o'clock. 3 Fridays out of 4, I'll fall asleep about 20 minutes into it. You know, because I sit in my recliner, it's Friday, it's the end of the week. I'll sit in my recliner, I was like, man, this is good. You know, I got my Coke or I got my coffee or whatever. I got my favorite TV show, Brenda's made some cookies or something, and man, life is good, right? So I'm getting ready to watch Blue Bloods, I fall asleep. Well, at some other point, I'll come and watch it, the same show, and Brenda will say, oh, I saw this before. I'm like, what do you mean you saw this before? I haven't seen this before. She said, well, you fell asleep last time. You know, so, you know, the end, right? You know how all the shows, they have a introduction, a problem, and then the problem is solved, and the bad guys get put away. Well, I'm on the edge of my seat watching to see what happens, and she gets up to go make some cookies or something, you know. She gets up to go, I'm like, what are you leaving now for? She says, I know what's going to happen. You know, that gives us peace and contentment. Well, we know what's going to happen. Well, in this life, in this world, there's a lot of things we don't know what's going to happen. Things bother us. Things, you know, we worry about our children or our grandchildren. We worry about our finances or our job. We worry about our home. There's a lot of people in this, in our church, in our community, in our area of influence that we all have, that are uncertain about stuff. Maybe we're just getting out of school, or maybe whatever it is that's going on. We're uncertain. Maybe it's our health, whatever it is. And we don't necessarily have peace about that. You know, we're kind of anxious, and we have a lot of anxiety about not having the peace that God promises us. You know, the Lord does promise us peace. In John, even in John chapter 14, in verse 27, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Where does our peace come from? Our peace comes from Him, and there's a method to maintaining this peace. In John, in the very first chapter, very first verse of John chapter 15, about to like verse 5, we're going to see the Lord Jesus gives this. Now, the Lord here is with the disciples. He's already gotten rid of Judas, you know, or he already told Judas he's going to betray me. He already gave him the bread dipped in the wine or whatever it was he dipped it in and gave it to him. He already took off. So there's just Jesus and the 11 disciples in the upper room, in this upper room discourse that's going on here right before his crucifixion. And he's telling them about leaving them peace. And those verses at the end of John chapter 14, he's saying, I want you to have peace and understand because I've told you before it's going to happen. But how do we keep that? How do we keep that peace that we know what's going to happen? How do we keep that abiding peace that keeps us going and keeps us confident, keeps us strong, keeps us walking the Christian life. Let's look in John chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 1. We're going to go John chapter 15, verse 1 through 5. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me." And verse 5, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. And he that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening. Lord Jesus, I thank you that, Lord, that you have saved me. Lord Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in this place. Lord, I pray your Spirit would break our hearts. Father, help us to see you better. Lord, you are always with us. Father, help us to realize that truth, that we might abide in you and have peace in all that we do. Lord Jesus, we love you, and we just pray that you would be magnified. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, now, there's a lot that goes into abiding in him, because he gives the example of him being the vine and us being the branches, and nothing lives without him. In the first verse, he says, "I am the true vine." Not just the true like it's real, but true as in absolute. He is the absolute vine. He is the absolute source of life. God is the absolute source of life. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Father is the husbandman. The Father is the owner. He owns it all. That's one responsibility we can relinquish right off the bat. Right? So he is the owner. So we don't have the stress of maintaining anything because he is the owner. We are his children. You'll see kids that are always upset because they don't have this or they don't have that, or they want to do this or they want to do that. You know, and you think, man, if that was my only problem, life would be good. Right? If that was my only problem, the pair of jeans I was going to wear, if I was going to have a phone, or what show I was going to watch, or what if my uniform pants are clean for my baseball game, whatever it is, if that was the only thing I had to worry about, my life would be excellent. Well, we can absolutely take that frame of mind because the Lord is the owner. He is the husbandman. And he says in verse 2, "Every branch that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit." Now, we're going to get to that when we get to 2 Peter chapter 1. He says in verse 3, "Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken to you." You are clean through his word. We are saved by his word. Verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself." So how do we abide in him? How do we do that? How do we abide? That's kind of a fancy word for rest, for live. Abide in me. Abide. Live. Rest in me. Trust me. You know, just like we want people to trust us, right? We tell our husband or our wife or our children or whoever, we tell them, look, I got it. It's okay. Now, Tony Evans, he wrote a book. It's called Kingdom Man. He was taught, I love Tony Evans. He's an awesome preacher. And he's an excellent writer also. And in this book, Kingdom Man, he talks about men telling their wives and their children, their family, look, I got it. And that they don't have to worry anymore because dad or the husband said, I've got it. We can abide in the Lord because he had it. He has it. He has it. Just like he said in chapter 14, he says, I've told you these things now so that when they happen, you know that I've told you. Everything's under control. I'm going to go away to my Father. And you should rejoice. Rejoice, even in the method by which he goes to his Father. You know, he dies on the cross. We think, what is there to rejoice in that? He's in the grave for 3 days. What is there to rejoice in that? I tell you what's to rejoice in it, because on the third day he rose again. We can rejoice in that. And we can rejoice in it because it wasn't a surprise. It wasn't a surprise to the Lord. It wasn't a surprise to the Father. It wasn't a surprise to those who listened. It wasn't a surprise to them which were clean through his word that he had spoken. The Lord had given that ahead of time so that we might have peace. So not if, but when trouble comes, we can abide in him and we can have that peace. We all need that peace. We all want it. And we try to get it through so many ways, but it's the only way to get it is to abide in him. To trust, to know his word. No more can you except you abide in me. And in verse 5, and I am the vine and you are the branches, and he that abides, he that lives, he that rests, he that trusts in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We abide in him. We're part of him. He is part of us. You know, you ever see one guy at work was showing me a couple weeks ago. He was showing me a picture of this tree that on one side it grew oranges and on the other side it grew lemons. Have you ever seen that? They can do that. You can grow two fruit on the same tree. He told me that and I said, man, you're a liar. Get out of here. He's like, no, man, really, let me show you. So he pulls out his phone and he shows me this tree that's got oranges on one side, lemons on the other side. And then it showed this graph and this like time-lapse photos of how they did it. Well, they cut this one tree, whether it was an orange tree or lemon tree, whatever, was a stump, and then they cut it, and then they took the other tree and put it on there and taped it and put some kind of sealant on it or whatever. And so both trees became one. I mean, it was cool. So it's bearing two kinds of fruit off the same tree. But the Lord grafted us into him because he is the vine and we are the branches. We are in him and he is in us. And if we are in him and he is in us, we have nothing but to have peace. We have nothing but to abide in him. Now, how does that live out in our life? You know, that's kind of a lofty idea. Yes, we abide in the Lord and everything's peaceful, but how do we actually do that? You know, I'm kind of a hands-on kind of person. Somebody can tell me how to do something, or I can read something in a book, and yeah, that's fine. Okay, I get, you know, an owner's manual on my car. Well, I'll look at the owner's manual on my car, and I'm like, yeah, whatever, man, I don't get it, and I put it, you know, I throw it away. Well, then I'll get on YouTube, right, and I'll YouTube it, and I'll see a video, and I'll watch somebody doing exactly what I just read about that I didn't understand. Well, when I watch it, how they do it, I'm like, oh, I got it. So we have to have some kind of concrete example that tells us how is it exactly we're supposed to abide in him. Now go to 2 Peter chapter 1. All the way over in 2 Peter chapter 1. Now in 1 Peter, Peter was not a guy that was not acquainted with trouble, right? He knew all about trouble. He knew all about being beaten. He knew all about suffering for the Lord. He knew all about doing stuff stupid. Right? We all know about doing stupid stuff, right? We've all done stupid stuff. Some of us have done more than others. Some today, some maybe yesterday. But we've all done stupid stuff. So Peter was just a regular guy that abided in Christ. He abided in Jesus, the very Son of God. He understood this. And in 1 Peter, he wrote about the honor and the privilege that is to suffer for Christ and that we should expect that. But in 2 Peter, as he starts this letter in 2 Peter, he starts with his normal introduction. He says, Peter, a servant of God in Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of our God and Jesus our Lord. In verse 3, he says, according as his divine power. And at the end of that verse, he says, he's called us to glory and virtue. So this is Peter giving an introduction. He's giving an introduction. Peter, I imagine him being a blue-collar guy, right? Big, burly, loudmouth guy, wasn't afraid of anything. And he's telling all about how to do this practically. He's giving some practical instruction on how to abide in Christ. In verse 4, he says, whereby are given to us exceeding and great precious promises. Now think about that. He's saying we have been given exceedingly and great promises. Some promises that Jesus has given us. Jesus has given us some promises. He said, peace I leave with you. That's a promise that he's given. He's given us peace. He's given us that. My spirit I'm going to send to you in my name. He's promised us a spirit. He's promised us peace. He's promised us everlasting life, like Pastor Mark talked about this morning in John 3:16. Right? There's a lot of things he's promised. He says he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's also promised, I'm going to come back. He's promised us lots of stuff. So whereby all these exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of divine nature. I love that. Divine nature. That we might be partakers of divine nature. We might become very reflections that have the nature of God. Now, we're not going to be God, but we're going to have a divine nature, a nature that is of God, a nature that is holy, a nature that is separate from the world, one that is sanctified, one that is heaven bound. God is going to give us this divine nature. Partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have escaped corruption. If we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we have escaped corruption. Escaped its eternal consequences. Escaped corruption through lust. That's a corruption that is in the world through lust. We all see it around us all the time, right? If you ever turn on the TV, you see corruption. If you open the newspaper, get on the internet, you see corruption. You talk to somebody at work, in a grocery store, sometime, well, even in church, you see corruption. It's all around us. These great and exceeding precious promises that we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, I love that. He goes on. He said, and beside that, besides escaping corruption. So it's beside, it's not just escaping it. It's not just safety. It's not salvation. Besides all that. You know, the Lord didn't say, here, buy fire insurance and be my disciple. That's not what he said. We're not saved that we might avoid hell. We're saved that we might conquer. We are more than conquerors, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8. We are, you know, who lays any charge to God's elect? That's you and me, by the way. Not just escape, not just safety, not just salvation. Besides this, giving all diligence to add to your faith. Now see, our faith, if we are believers, if we are Christians in the Christian life, faith is a given, is it not? To accept Jesus as our Savior, that is an act of faith. That is a saving act of faith. If we put our trust in Him, we repent, we confess, we have exhibited our faith in the very Son of God. Add to your faith. You know, I've heard people say that, you know what? I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. That's good enough for me. That's enough. That's not why the Lord saved you. The Lord saved you that you might bring Him glory. The Lord saved you that He might use you. The Lord saved you that He might give you a divine nature. Not just in heaven, but He might give you a divine nature here. That we might reflect the Lord Jesus, that somebody next to you might come to know Him as your Savior. Think about the people around you in your neighborhood or wherever it is that are lost. Man, they're lost, and if they died today, they'd be in hell. I mean, that's a tough thing. We all know people that are close to us that have died that did not know the Lord as their Savior. You know, I've had family members that have gone, that have taken their last breath not knowing the Lord Jesus. And it's a heartbreaking thing. I've had people that I've worked with that have drawn their last breath not knowing Jesus as their Savior. And it's heart-wrenching. It makes it real. And it makes us realize that it's not something that we have time to do. It's not enough just to know that we're safe. It's not enough just to know that we're going to go to heaven. You know, that's totally disrespecting everything the Lord did for us. It's not for us to be selfish just to absorb it. It's to have a divine nature that we might add to our faith. Add to your faith virtue. You know, virtue is purity. But virtue is also valor, courage. Add to our faith. Think about that for a minute. Add to our faith, not just faith in the Lord Jesus, but add to our faith courage and valor. Be because the Lord requires that of us. Think about Peter and John, the disciples. Think about the pastors and the people, even this very day, that their lives are in danger because they profess Jesus as their Savior. Courage and valor. Not that we need something above faith to be saved. I'm not saying that. But the Apostle Peter is telling us that we'd add to that, add to our faith, virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. Not just head knowledge, not just biblical knowledge, but wisdom. Wisdom to apply the things that we know. Wisdom to apply what the Lord Jesus has entrusted to us. His word, as we read in John 15, verse 4, the words that he has spoken to us. Wisdom. You know, even cultural skill. Add to your faith virtue and knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. Now think about temperance. Now what do we think of? We think about temperance. We think of self-control, right? We think of not doing all the different things that are hedonistic, you know, self-absorbed to satisfy every urge that we might have. That's hedonism. But to have wise management of who we are. So we're adding virtue, courage. We're adding knowledge, wisdom. To knowledge, we add temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. We seek to add these things that we might abide in Him. So that we might have peace. The peace that He gives to us. The peace that He leaves with us. Abide in Him. Add those things. Be fruitful. Do the things that the Lord is commanding us to do. The things the Lord is leading us to do. Remembering that He did not save us just so we don't go to hell. He saved us that we might be witnesses. That we might be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. That we might go about teaching all the things that He has taught. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's God's command to us. We want to have peace. Let's have peace. Let's be obedient. You know, we want to abide. We want to be obedient, but the things in life kind of get in the way, right? When we try to be obedient and we add these things, the things in life get away. And we think, Lord, I'm going to abide tomorrow. Wait till this one thing is over. You know, but Lord, I can't really abide in You because I'm really angry about this right this moment. I can't really abide in You because I've got something going on. I can't abide in You because I want to indulge in this one particular sin. Now, none of us would ever say that out loud, right? But by our actions, that's what we proclaim. Lord, I'm going to abide in You tomorrow. You know, and abiding in Him and obeying Him in the daily grind, right? We all have a daily grind. We all have a daily routine. Right, my alarm goes off good and early in the morning. I get up. I have the same routine every morning. Right, I get up. I go downstairs. I get a drink of water. Brenda's got my breakfast all made, my lunch all made, everything like that. So I'm getting all that stuff together. I get my oatmeal. I have oatmeal every morning, right? This big old bowl of oatmeal with lots of butter in it. Y'all like oatmeal with butter in it? I love oatmeal butter in it. Anyway, so I'm eating all of that, and I go downstairs. I turn the news on. I watch the weather. You know, because the weather, not much is on at 4 o'clock in the morning, but I watch the weather, see what's going on. So then I'll stop, turn TV off, I'll pray a little bit, and then I'll head to work. So once I get to work a little bit early, I stop, open my Bible, I read, do my devotion, and then it's time to start. I do that every single day. So it's kind of a daily grind. You know, we do things every day. We go to work, whatever it is that we do it every day. And the Lord is calling us to be obedient, even in that daily drudgery. You know, it seems so pointless sometimes. It seems like nothing great is happening. Lord, why is nothing great happening? The Lord has given us peace to abide in Him. Sometimes there's great things. Sometimes there's things that don't seem great. But every point of your obedience is honor to Him. Every point of your obedience, you want to abide, you want peace, you want calmness. It's not in the things of the past. The things of the past are gone. You know, yesterday is gone. And we can sit and reminisce and feel good, just like I was on that pew this afternoon. I was sitting there and, man, my eyes were closed. And I mean, I had tears welling up in my eyes because I just remember those days. And, man, they were good. I have peace. But the Lord is telling us to add to our faith valor, courage, knowledge, wisdom, temperance, self-control. He's telling us to add all of these things and to patience and godliness. He's telling us to have a persistent endeavor to pattern our lives after Christ. Our circumstances do not decide whether we abide in Him. Our circumstances do not dictate if we have peace or not. Think about the Lord Jesus. He's talking to them in the upper room right before He was to be crucified. And He's talking to them about peace and about having joy. And look what's getting ready to happen. Our circumstances are not slave, or our peace is not slave to our circumstances. We abide in Him. He is constant. He never changes. If we abide in Him, we obey Him daily. We search His Word. We pray and come into His presence. We allow Him to speak to us. We want peace? Let Him speak to us. Let Him speak those words to us. That's peace. So we might abide in Him. And the Apostle Peter is guiding us through piece by piece by piece. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Love. Add to your faith all these things. We continue to work, continue to add, continue to learn, continue to study. We continue to seek His face. If we seek His face, then all the things, all the stress, all the rush, all the whatever it is in this world, they melt away. And then our circumstances no longer dictate whether we abide in Him, whether we have peace that passes all understanding. When we abide in Him, when we live in Him, and Him in us, when we allow Him to teach us, and we don't say, Lord, why did You let this happen? This is awful. You must have got this wrong. I've said those very words. Lord, You really messed it up. Nobody could hear me, but I actually said those words. I remember I was in a field. I was walking through this field and I was praying. I was angry. I was mad. Lord, what are You doing? I wasn't abiding in Him. I wasn't allowing and trusting Him. But through that, through these things, He teaches us and He says, I got it. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Have joy. And you might know these things because I've told you before they happened. Just like the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter, when he talked about, don't be surprised when this trouble finds you. Don't be surprised. Peter goes on in verse 8. He says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we abide in Him? How do we bear fruit? Because He is the vine and we are the branches. And if we don't bear fruit, then He cuts it off. If we do bear fruit, He prunes us. So no matter what, it's going to hurt. Everybody get that, right? No matter what, it's going to hurt. This side of heaven, we're going to have pain. We're going to have physical pain, emotional pain, all kinds of pain. We're going to have it. The Lord never said, I'm going to make your life a bed of roses. Nobody promised you rainbows and unicorns all the rest of your life if you know Jesus as your Savior. If they did, they were lying to you. The Lord Jesus said, you will have trouble. The world is going to hate you, but take heart because they hated me first. He says, these things be in you, neither shall you be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9 of 2 Peter chapter 1. But he that lacks these things is blind, and he cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Did you hear that? Have you ever forgotten that you've been purged from your old sins? You ever forgotten that? Let me tell you, every time we get mad, every time we start doubting what the Lord is doing, we've forgotten that He has purged us from our sin that was sending us straight to hell. Every time. It's forgotten that we've been purged from our old sins. We pray for revival. Under the last probably month or so, I've been praying all the time for a revival that the Lord might rise up warriors. That that his name might be made great. Because we've forgotten. Those of us that are believers, those of us maybe as children that have given our life to him, and we've let the world cloud our entire view. We've let ourselves be blind by this present world. And we've forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. We have been purged from our old sins. He says in verse 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." Give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. You're not making your calling, your election sure to God. He knows already. He's the one that died for you. He's the one that wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He knows that you're saved. But do these things so that we might understand that our election, that our call is sure. Because sometimes we doubt. We doubt what the Lord's doing. We doubt that the Lord has something for us. We doubt. And we think, Lord, what are we doing? I'm just here living. Going by the daily grind. I'm not making an impact anywhere. We start doubting. But the Apostle Peter says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Do these things, these small things. Add to your faith knowledge, patience, temperance, virtue, godliness, brotherly kindness. Add these things to your faith. For if you do these things, you will never fall. We'll never stray away. We'll never go way off the deep end. We know believers that have gone so far out in left field that nobody would ever know they were saved. I know some guys, I'm sure you know people that, you know, at work or in your family or whatever, know people that you'd never think in a million years they were believers. You know, by the words that come out of their mouth. You know what I'm talking about, right? By the words that come out of their mouth, by maybe their work ethic or this or that or the other. And you think, and all of a sudden you start talking to them about the Lord. You know, the Lord's laid them on your heart. And then you start talking to them about the Lord. And then they say, oh yeah, man, I was saved when I was a kid. I was raised in church, yada, yada, yada. I'm thinking, what? Holy mackerel. Dude, there's something wrong. But if we stay true to these things, we add to our faith all these things, we shall not fall. And the Lord will use us, and he will build us, and he will make us to have his divine nature. That we will be like him. Man, that's the goal, right? To be like him. To be in a close relationship. Think about the Lord praying in John chapter 17. The Lord praying, the Lord's prayer, as he was praying for his followers. He was praying for the ones that might know him. Man, when he prayed, the earth moved. Because of his relationship with the Father. Because he abided in the Father and the Father abided in him. Do these things that we might not fall. And finally, verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that when we enter the kingdom, think about that day. Keep that day in your mind. Keep that day. That day you enter into God's kingdom. Think about the day you enter God's kingdom and you come into God's physical presence and you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, what have you done with me? You think, well, I'm not down there, so I guess I'm all right. No! We serve him. We add to our faith. We seek to obey him and put all the things of this world aside. All the things of the past that we love. All the things of the past that we don't necessarily love. But live in right now. Live that we might have a divine nature. That we might abide in him. That we might become just like him. Because one day we're going to be glorified and we're going to be like him. One day we'll enter his kingdom. So that an entrance might be given to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The kingdom of peace, abiding in him. Abide in me, and I in you. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
we seek His face every day. I challenge you. I challenge you to think, even at this very moment. I challenge you to think about what you do during the day. What do you do in the morning? What do you do in the afternoon? What do you do? Do you seek His face daily? Do you spend time with Him in prayer daily? Do you spend time in His Word, getting to know His Word? Not just head knowledge, but wisdom, life application, wisdom. Do you spend that time with Him, trusting Him, abiding in Him, resting in Him, that you know that whatever happens, He knows all about it. And He's not making a mistake. And just because it's not happening the way we want doesn't mean that He doesn't love us. Because so often we think, Lord, this is not what I want. You must not love me. You ever thought that? Ever prayed that? Guilty. Lord, this can't be. Am I forgotten? Think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Those, that one word, nevertheless. Not my will, but your will be done. Abiding in Him. I challenge you. Spend time every day abiding in Him, trusting Him. The things of this world are going to pass away. They're going to fade away. You'll not doubt what it is that He wants you to do because you're going to be so tightly knit with the Holy Spirit that it's going to be so evident, it's going to be instinct. You won't have to pray anymore, Lord, what would you have me to do? Because the Holy Spirit is abiding in you and you in Him so much that the natural thing will be to obey Him. Think about that day. I'm certainly not there yet. But that's the logical conclusion to this process, that we might have a divine nature, that we might abide in Him. Let the Lord speak to you. Allow the Lord. Ask Him, Lord, search my heart. See if there is any wickedness in me, just as David prayed. Lord, search me. Purge me from all my sin. And I would add that we would not forget that we were purged from all of our sin. When we remember that, it's so much easier to obey and to trust. When we remember the sin the Lord has purged from us, that He's washed away with His very blood. Let us abide in Him as He did the Father. We're going to pray. After we pray, we're going to have an invitation. So let's everybody go ahead and stand. And during this invitation, I want you to pray. Ask the Lord, Lord, what is it? What is it, Lord, that you would have me to let go of that I might abide in you? I'm holding on to something. Let Him speak to your heart. But be obedient when He tells you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are fallen men. Lord Jesus, I pray your forgiveness when I doubt you. Lord, when I ask you what it is that you're doing, that you must be making a mistake. Father, I thank you even now, as the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter, Lord, we rejoice in those troubled times. I thank you for them. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help add to my faith knowledge and virtue, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. Lord, that I might have a divine nature. Lord, speak to our heart that we might let go whatever is not of you. Lord Jesus, in your holy name we pray. Amen.